G'day humans, welcome to the safe space for dangerous ideas. Here's a doozy for you. What will become of the left and the right? What's the future of conservatism? What's the future of progressive politics? One guy who understands it all is Peter Van Onselen, who's an academic and political journalist. He's worked in government. He's worked in intelligence. He's been the political editor of Network 10, one of the big networks in Australia, and a co-host of The Project, which is a panel show about the news in Australia. He's currently a professor of politics and public policy at the University of Western Australia. He's a columnist for The Australian, and he's written a ton of books about Australian prime ministers, mostly conservative prime ministers, and how they met their demise. Peter Van Onselen, thanks for being here.
G'day, Josh. Thanks for having me.
I like the shirt. If you're not watching on YouTube, he's got a hoodie that says Waystar Royco on it. And when I saw Waystar Royco, I thought, is that a real company or no? Hang on a second. That's from Succession.
Well, I'm just a fan of the show. Didn't like the first season. I thought it took a while to get going, but I loved it by the end, and I'm disappointed that they're not finding a way to kick it on. But I wore this once on another program and got, and we're talking about the left and the right and whether they're in demise, got equal amounts of hate from both. The right were criticizing me for wearing it because they were saying that I was taking the mickey out of the Murdochs, who I write a column a week for in The Australian. Obviously, they're the owners. But then the left were attacking me for promoting the show because the Murdochs own it, I think.
Right.
Or at least own one of the networks that it airs on. So I was sort of getting equal hate. And the truth was that I just wore it because a mate of mine, I was wearing it the night before for dinner, probably had too much to drink with him, and he basically dared me to wear it the next day.
on the telly.
On the telly. So I went, okay, fine.
Yeah, I like the fact that people picked it up as well, like noticed it as well, and that the left is so censorious that they don't think that you should be able to wear even a fictitious giant company.
And it was on the ABC, so then there were also just the old-fashioned types, I think, who were concerned that there was a commercialization of the ABC.
Of course, because yes. Why are you advertising a commercial network?
Yeah.
So let's just talk about some recent news, which is while I was away, there was some concern that AUKUS, which is this big submarine deal, probably the biggest defence strategic shift in Australia in decades, was under threat because the US has basically halved the number of submarines that they were going to. What was – explain to people what AUKUS was and is, especially to our American
listeners. I mean, in essence, from an Australian perspective, it's a chance for Australia, whether you think it's good or bad, to get access to nuclear submarines, the Virginia class, essentially, that the United States manufactures and produces. The technology is obviously highly secret from the Americans' perspective. The Australians see it as a real boon to be able to get it because it would essentially create long-range submarine capability, which we don't have with our current submarines with their diesel limitations. So we don't have a nuclear industry, though, in Australia. A lot of countries have nuclear power, even if it's not at a weapons grade. You need nuclear power to obviously, sort of have a nuclear submarine fleet. But we won't be importing, unless there's some change of policy, that ability to create nuclear power in Australia. That will still come from the US. And apparently the life cycle of the subs can be sort of ever enduring, at least for the foreseeable future, as nuclear subs without needing that domestically. But for Australia, it's about that long-term ability for them to be underwater and at sea. And from the Americans' perspective, it's about, expanding on the alliance, which is what AUKUS essentially is, Australia, the US and the UK.
And where does the UK fit into it?
Well, I mean, I think they're just part of it because, they turned up here in 1788. I don't know. Like, why does anyone go to the UK anymore? But it's one of those things.
Apologies to our UK listeners. Buckingham Palace is beautiful. Have you been to the Tate Modern lately?
And what's going on with Kate? Peter. No, let's not get into that. But I don't think it's ever going to happen. And
AUKUS?
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Well, and this goes
to
the
point. And just to clarify, so it's not just about the subs, though. It's about the subs, but it's also about Australia basically looking at the strategic environment, looking at China, looking at the threats that we face. Obviously, we're the most vulnerable Western nation and arguably the most vulnerable rich country, with the exception of Japan and South Korea, perhaps, to any conflict that would happen in the Asia Pacific theater. We need shipping lanes across the South China Sea to be open. We need to get all our stuff from somewhere. And so the idea was, throw your lot in with the Americans, integrate our defense capabilities so closely and so tightly that those knots can't be unbound, and that it would be inconceivable for America not to defend, not to be involved in any conflict that True. Could arise between China and Australia.
But there's so many interesting parts to that. I mean, the satirical part, you would have seen it, I'm sure, that Rob Stitch episode where he talks about the need to boost military spending to protect us from China because we need to protect the sea lanes of our trade with China. So that's one that you've got to get your head around. And there is some truth. It's more complicated than that, obviously, but there is some truth to that.
We get all our stuff from China and they buy all our stuff.
Yeah, so
if we're in a war with them, we have to make sure we can get that material
without China blowing up those ships.
Right. And nonetheless, when you say that AUKUS may never happen, so there was this huge hoo-ha about the signing of this thing, certainly in Australia, because it was, you know, a landmark thing. And under the previous government in Australia, which was a centre-right government, a conservative government, they basically structured it so that it was going to unfold over a series of years and decades, right? The first step is this, and then we get this, and then we get that, and then ultimately in, what, the 2040s or something,
exactly.
The whole thing pays off.
Eventually, we start building these submarines here, albeit importing the nuclear technology. But until that happens, the theory is, and this goes to where we started, the theory is that the US will flick us a couple of Virginia-class subs of their own before we start the process of building them domestically. And there's all sorts of reasons why experts, this isn't my specific area of expertise, but I was at a really interesting round table last week talking about exactly this. I mean, I was more listening than talking, so now I'm plagiarizing. But the experts at the table, they were all, every single one of them was highly doubtful. They're all professors of international security studies. They were highly doubtful that this is ever going to happen.
Or is it because just recently the Americans voted to what?
They've always been doubtful, okay. But they see, and this your point, the Americans have reduced essentially their own capacity to build submarines. It would have to be at a scale of about 2.5 a year. They're down to one, I think, or thereabouts.
2.5 submarines?
Yeah. And for the-
One submarine?
To meet their output ultimate objectives, and they're not going to get
In the Second World War, they were pushing out a bomber every 30 minutes or something.
A Liberty ship a day, I remember my parents talking about. But it's interesting because they are falling behind on that basis alone. But the doubts of these security experts was twofold. One was that America won't want to give up one of their own Virginia-class subs.
Well, not
in that context.
Got one.
Exactly. Well, they've got a few, but they're not building them quickly enough. But the other reason that they doubt it is that they ultimately aren't sure that the American Congress is going to ultimately approve at that last moment, the decision by whoever the president is down the track to actually formally pass the intelligence over for the capability development. They just don't believe that that's going to ultimately happen. And all of this is what's leading to their doubt. The reason that Australia apparently needs these submarines is because, as I mentioned, they can go long range, but there's a shelf that they want to sit in for months on end underwater, which they can't do with, you know, the Collins class, for example, that are diesel fueled. And that gives us some sort of strategic advantage. But again,
where is this shelf?
Well, somewhere between here and China. I mean,
you're right off the coast of Shanghai, perhaps.
You're pushing beyond my expertise there. But look, I was actually surprised that every single one of these experts, I won't name them in fairness to them, but I was surprised that every single one of them was doubtful that it would happen.
Was it a necessary strategic, it was hugely controversial here. So you had former-
Even though it was bipartisan, which
is interesting. It was bipartisan at the time, and yet there were great lions of Australian politics, like former prime ministers on the left saying, this is bonkers. Australia should be instead finding a way to essentially play both sides. We should be neutral in all this. It's not, you know, Taiwan is not our fight and never will be. We're never going to care about it more than the Chinese care about it, just as we don't care about Ukraine more than Putin cares about Ukraine. At the end of the day, avoid the loss of blood and treasure and just try to be a Switzerland of the South Pacific and, trade with who we need to trade with and have, basic defense alliances. But you don't necessarily want to make it quite as overt as AUKUS.
And that's where the debate comes in, because most, if you like, more hawkish advocates for AUKUS, their argument is that this is an arbitrage. You know, we need this just in case. We need the capability just in case. The doves on the other side who are opposed to it, their argument is, arbitrage or not, by building it and by developing the alliance the way that we are actually increasing the chances of needing that arbitrage because we're upsetting China.
Well, I mean, that's how defense escalation turns into aggression all the time, right? I mean, you're always trying to second guess. That's how World War One started. You know, you're just trying to defensively prevent the other side from doing something, and then that turns into then you're off to the races. I mean, I was sympathetic to AUKUS. I mean, because I sort of feel instinctively like it's not like the Chinese need much reminding whose side we're on. You know, I think they've noticed and I think they will continue to notice that we're not really part of like their sphere of influence and will never be what we want them to be. So you might as well just back the West.
I'm 50-50 about it. I've done a lot of reading in the last 12 months about Chinese naval history and the development of the West and the colonization process, as well as the Opium Wars from the mid-1800s. We won't get into all of that, but I found it really interesting as a sort of a side interest beyond Auspol over the last 12 months as recreational
Australian reading. Politics. That's for Australian that's, politics yes, for wonks. Auspol,
I should say that.
Go for it.
But I'm looking at the title of this uncomfortable conversation. So let me raise this and see how we go with the important caveat that I'm very concerned about China because they're not a democracy. And I've written a lot about this over the years. They're not a democracy, and that profoundly concerns me. Even if they were to embrace some form of non-Western type democracy, they're a long way from that, and they've gone further in the other direction in recent years rather than towards democratization. So that's an important caveat to what I'm about to say. Having said that, the more I've read about China...
To hear the rest of this conversation, go to uncomfortableconversations.substack.com/listen and you will get your own personal premium podcast feed with at least 3 extra episodes of the podcast every month and heaps of extra stuff, including the remainder right now of the fabulous conversation you've just been hearing. If it was worth listening to this much of, don't rob yourself of the rest. Pull out your phone right now and search for Uncomfortable Conversations on Substack.